They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
This is On The Commons with your host, Sue Bartholomew. On The Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on The Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us today on The Commons, we have Jan Bergman from Soggy, Florida this morning. Jan, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, as usual, Sue.
Well, you guys have been, as usual, pretty busy. And you're going to tell us what you guys have been up to in normally sunny Florida, right?
Well, it's getting ridiculous. The problem we have here are outrageous. Associations have to declare bankruptcy. They can't pay their bills. People are losing their homes. And I'm talking about people who paid every bill they were supposed to pay, not the ones who are called deadbeats, because their association goes bankrupt and they lose all their life savings. You know, in an association where they were promised would protect their property values. You know, they're now looking at the property under the bridge or somewhere.
The property values problem is a huge one. It's the biggest lie on the face of this earth. But, Jan, I was at the CAI Law Seminar last month, and they said that Florida had 20% of all HOAs are in Florida. Does that surprise you? You had the most HOAs in the country.
No, it doesn't surprise me, and most likely we have the least protection for the people inside these associations. We just had an OPAGA report that is more or less a Senate watchdog here in Florida, and they say that about 2.5 million homes are located within mandatory homeowners associations here in Florida. That's give or take about 5 million people live in mandatory homeowners associations, and the few little statutes we have no enforcement, and they're more or less ridiculous because they're written in a language which has more holes than a Swiss cheese.
Well, I think that the laws have been written primarily to protect or to increase the powers of associations and also give managers and the attorneys a lot more leverage against the owners. So there's nothing in there for the homeowners. I mean, I keep telling people there's nothing in it for the homeowners. It's all the bulk of the balance is against you, against the homeowners. So that's no big surprise.
Well, there is no surprise because actually these associations do nothing what they promise to do. Call them a communist system because with our economy and our real estate market, we have gotten now to the point where the people who still have money have to pay for the bills for the people who don't have money. You know, I talked recently with a guy, he said, I'm paying for three of my neighbors at their television bill. You know, this is absolutely ridiculous, and more and more people go broke. They lose their homes, especially in developer-owned homeowner associations which are not turned over, you know, the developers go bankrupt and drag down the people who already invested their life savings in these associations because the association can't pay the bill of all the stupid contracts the developer signed in order to get more kickbacks, and that's just it.
Well, I mean, even when, yeah, it's an even bigger problem because you're going to have people who are out there listening to the show going, well, there's no contractor involved in my association, but the problem is it's not a sustainable form of housing. This is, you know, it's a house of cards. Let's just say it's a house of cards. It's terrible. It's put together willy-nilly, and I think it's the whole thing's going to come tumbling down. Whether you have developers involved or board members involved with their fingers in the cookie jar, or you have managers, or you have homeowners who are not interested, who don't want to pay, who don't want to get involved. They don't want this, you know, the association. It's not going to work, Jan.
Right, but the problem is, you know, I as well predict that it will all come tumbling down like a cart house. But it will drag all the good people down who invested all their money.
Right.
You know, don't forget, Florida is a retirement state.
Yeah.
We have loads and loads of people here who worked all their lives hard to get what they have, then bought their dream house in Florida, and now more or less lose it all. You know, you see people going back up north with nothing left.
I agree. I absolutely agree. It's not, it's a huge problem.
And here then you see the special interest again filing bills which are detrimental for the homeowner. You know, instead of now seeing and trying some common sense solutions, they want to make it even worse. You know, this week the legislative session started in Florida, and you see bills which, for example, allow homeowners association to buy golf courses and to buy leases. You know, the law firms who are pushing this lost in every appeals court in the state of Florida. They got beaten up. The courts told them you can't do that because, you know, there is a contract, and the contract says no golf course, so you can't just buy a golf course. By the way, golf courses bankrupt more homeowners associations than anything else. And now they're filing bills that allow a homeowners association board to buy a golf course, bankrupting the people. They forget that the homes of all these people are more or less the collateral for all the unpaid bills.
The liability, all of these things are liabilities. In fact, Wayne Hyatt, when we're going back 12 years now, came on the show, a different show that I had than this one before on the Commons, and he made the comment that the homeowners were not using all of the amenities like the swimming pools and the golf courses and the tennis courts and all of that. But yet it's an integral part of their property. And the idea is that, gee whiz, you know, if there's a swimming pool there or a golf course, it's going to increase your property values, but it has the opposite effect.
Well, actually, every amenity you have adds to your liability.
That's true.
And you know, for example, the cost for maintaining a golf course has about doubled in the last 7 years. You know, a golf course that costs to maintain $750,000 in 2002 is now costing about $1.5 million. But the problem is less and less people want to play golf. The new people coming down to Florida are not interested in golf. We have many, many golf courses all over Florida where nobody plays.
Well, that's, you know, and this is nothing new, Jan. This is something, the point I'm trying to make is this is something that Wayne Hyatt said 12 years ago, and I think that he said it 12 years ago on the show, but
he had said it previous to that. But the, you know, we know that people don't want them. We know that they're not being used. We know that they're a liability. Why are we continuing to build them?
Well, I don't know, because it's money for the money makers. It's all about greed. You know, it's not about our homes anymore and the American dream of owning a home. It's now about greed. And the greed killed the whole system, and they're now killing the golden goose that paid them for many, many years, you know. And I have to say one thing. You know, I'm normally not very fond of the specialized attorneys, because most of them are just after the money and create frivolous lawsuits and don't give boards the right advice in order to create these lawsuits. But the situation and the problems inside the association has turned some of these, which I would consider former foes, into allies, because they realize that something needs to be done to protect these people in this association, because otherwise there is nobody anymore left they can represent. You know, it may surprise quite a lot of people, but I'm working closely with Donna Berger from Cannes after she left Beck and Polyakov. And we are pushing some of the same bills we like. And I really have to say it is good and it is nice. And I really appreciate that she was willing to come to the table, talk it out, and work with us together on that. But, you know, not everybody is, because here comes the law firm of Beck and Polyakov, who claims and tells these association boards that they would protect their rights and will do everything to make it right. But see, here is the problem. Beck and Polyakov has a lobbying arm here in Florida, which is called CALL, the Community Association Leadership Lobby. It's a fancy name. But they have a lobbyist named Travis Moore. And guess what? Travis Moore is as well the lobbyist for the Community Association Institute, the CAI. Now, Gary Polyakov and Travis Moore come to the town hall meetings and tell everybody what good they want for the association and something needs to be done, right? Ha, here comes the issue. The CAI has many banks and mortgage companies as members. Now, do you think they allow Travis Moore to lobby against their interest? No. Definitely not. That's about as ridiculous as it gets. You know, and the boards who rely on it are the same people who most likely would hire a Ford Motor Company to lobby for changes in Washington to protect the buyers of Ford. You know, that's about the same. It makes no sense. You know, there are conflicts of interest, and admittedly, they have different interests as we, the owners, do. But don't say it otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, you know, the only natives in this country, the Indians, they always said, white man speaks with forked tongue. And that is what you're hearing here.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Well, I have to say that, again, I'm going to go back to the law seminar. And when I was at the law seminar, they were talking about the lobbying that was being done at the state level, as well as the lobbying that's being done at the federal level. Now, we can talk to people like you and different people across the country who are involved at the state level, but I had asked Andrew Fortin to come on and talk about the federal lobbying that they're doing. And the response I got was I had to go through Frank Rathbun to get permission from him, and then I got an email from Frank saying, thanks, but no thanks. We do not want to, basically, in a very nice way, we don't really want to talk to the homeowners. There's been
this entire distancing. So there's no. I mean, you've got Donna Berger, who seems to have seen the light and said, you know what, let's work together. Maybe we can come up with something, a compromise. But you also have a lot of people on the other side of the fence who just absolutely want to distance themselves from the owners, from the shareholders, and, you know, do their own thing. Yet the interesting thing is they still go out there and they still purport to represent the homeowners. When you talk about forked tongues, their tongues are going in about 65 zillion different directions.
Well, you know, let's be honest. One of the problems we see in the community association is the fact that, you know, nothing personal, but in my opinion, quite a few of these so-called board members don't have the faintest idea what they're really supposed to do.
No.
And I'm sorry to say, but the general education in this country doesn't provide for a lot of knowledge.
And now we're going beyond the scope of what we're doing on this show. No, but you're right.
Right, but I'm trying to be polite. Let's do it that way. but, you know, they just want the position, you know, want to call themselves president or secretary or treasurer or vice president. You know, that's what they're striving for. But since they have no clue what they're supposed to do, they rely on attorneys and they rely on managers. Now, these are the people who want their money. You know, they're not there, you know, to help these people, or they're not there because, you know, they want to do the right thing for the owners. They're there to make money, understandably so. You know, every profession, you want to make money. Nothing wrong. But that causes these specialized professionals to give advice to these, blue-eyed board members, that makes them more money. You know, you have law firms here. All they're interested in is billing hours. They don't care if the whole association collapses after they have gotten their money. You know, and the people have to realize that is their house, their home, which is at stake. And once they lose it, that's it. You know, the problem people have to realize is that, you know, we see so often it's board members against homeowners and vice versa. Well, board members have to realize one thing. If the bills can't be paid and the water is being turned off, the health department will kick them all out, no matter homeowner or board member. They go. The building is red-tagged and they go. We already have that with some condominiums here in Florida. Some more are more or less off the brink of getting there. They owe waterworks, you know, in one case, $180,000.
Wow.
You know, and you can understand that the waterworks finally say, that's it, people, you know, there's a limit. And they shut the water off, and then comes the health department, puts a red tag on the front door, and then everybody who lives there, if he paid his bill or not, doesn't matter, board member or just unit owner, doesn't matter, they all have to leave their homes within 24 hours. And normally, within a few days, you have these places vandalized, and they're not worth nothing anymore. You know, that's it. Their home is gone.
Protecting property values, right?
Yes, and these people, don't forget, quite a few of them have paid every bill, have paid every special assessment. They did everything they were supposed to do according to the so-called contract we always hear about, which I consider is no contract, but that's on another piece of paper. And they lost everything. There's nothing left. You know, we have old people, they move back to their children up north because they have nowhere to go.
That's really sad.
Yeah, and it's a sad thing that our legislator allows these old people who worked hard all their lives to achieve what they achieved and saved for their dream home in Florida, that they are being treated like a piece of dirt. Sorry, but that's the only word that comes to my mind.
We're talking to the quiet, shy, and usually reserved Jan Bergman, who's president of a very successful Cyber Citizens for Justice in Florida. Jan, one of these days you're really going to have to learn how to say what you think.
Well, I'm German. We Germans normally say what we think, but I am now here in this country since 30 years, and I have learned the meaning of politically correct. But that doesn't mean I always am politically correct. And to be very honest, if I see what happens to some of these people who deserve a lot better, you know, there is nothing left to be politically correct. It is a shame, you know, that a country which, you know, exports freedom to other countries with the help of our army and armed forces, you know, they can't even keep freedom here in our country.
You're right. I mean, you're absolutely correct. It's a sad commentary. I mean, you know, in Europe, You have high-rise buildings. You've had high-rise buildings in Europe for hundreds of years. And they're still standing, believe it or not. They weren't made out of cardboard and scotch tape. But you don't have these problems, Jan. What we have in this country is going to collapse. It's built out of cardboard, scotch tape. And the whole legal framework is so horrendous that it's not sustainable.
Well, look, you know, in 2004, you know, we had the HOA task force here in Florida. You know,
right.
Governor Jeb Bush, like him or not, he minimum did something for the people. He convened this task force, and he actually pushed for the provisions we decided upon to go through the legislature, and he signed it into law. You know, you may not like him, but he did real good at that time. Now, the attorneys want to change it again and make, for example, fines enforceable by lien and foreclosure, as if we don't have enough foreclosures here in Florida. We need some more, right? You know, and they say, yeah, but it's only over $1,000, you know. Well, what they do is these kangaroo courts, they levy two fines, and they're above $1,000, and then they can lien and foreclose. You know, we have one case here in Florida, it's so ridiculous. A lady got fined $1,600 for having a few too many decorative items in her garden. Okay? Now, actually, what she has is she collects some big shelves, you know, these white big shelves.
Oh, yeah.
You find at the beach, and she has some on her flower beds, right? Okay, now, as you can imagine, you're upset if you get fined $1,600 because her garden is immaculate. You know, I have seen pictures. You know, a lot of people would be proud to have such a garden, okay? Now, she went around with a camera and took pictures of the gardens of the same board members who levied the fine. Guess what?
their gardens
three
were
out of five violated the same rule she was fined for.
They had seashells in their garden too?
Right. And other decorative items. You know, there was one of one board member. I mean, that garden, I would be ashamed to have such a garden. And then she had flower pots. You know, these plastic ones you buy at Walmart or something like that?
Yeah.
You know, these ugly looking things. They were all over her garden. You know, that garden looked like a disgrace, but she didn't get a fining letter.
Of course not. She wasn't.
You know, and then, listen to this. She goes to the hearing, you know, Florida laws says if you want to, you can have a hearing in front of a so-called grievance committee. So she brings four witnesses to testify on her behalf and, you know, things like that. You know, the manager, your manager, high at hand, throws two of them out because she says they're not deeded owners, so they can't be at the meeting. You know, I mean, where are these people coming from?
I tell people, if you're going in front of one of these kangaroo courts, take everyone you can with you. Go stand on a street corner and drag people in if you can. And just so that there's a balance. What they try to do, Jan, is they're going to be, you know, you've got the entire board, you've got the management company, you've got the recording secretary, you've got the attorney, you've got the attorney's right-hand man, you've got all of these people on one side of the table, and what they want is you sitting there alone on the other side of the table so they can intimidate you. Again, it's a balance of power issue. So if you have a mob on your side of the table, it intimidates them for a change.
Well, there was a reporter, they kicked him out because they didn't want that in public, as you can imagine. You know, this is more than ridiculous.
If you don't, if you've got to hide something, you've got something to hide. And, you know, that's in essence what these guys have. They have something to hide. They don't want the world to see it. If they were honest, if they were on the up and up, they would invite the world to come in and say, look, we're trying to be reasonable. We're doing an incredibly ridiculous task. And we're trying to do it to the best of our ability. But no, they don't. They close the door. They throw people out. They don't want people around there. They decide to play God.
And then they blame the people who complain about their violations. You know, in the case I just talked about, the lady who got fined took pictures of the garden of one. He is not a board member. His wife is on this deed compliance committee.
Oh yes, put that on your resume, right?
Right, and you know the garden was full of violations. So he took offense that she took a picture of this garden, and said, you know, I'm always trying to obey the rules. Well, obviously you didn't, you know, otherwise these pictures wouldn't exist, would they? Because she didn't make them up, she didn't falsify it in the computer. And then, more or less, he blamed her for the whole problem. You know, if you would have paid your fine, nothing would have been public and nothing would have happened.
Oh, yeah. It's always...
If you don't like the rules, move out. That's what he said in the newspaper. Imagine that.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's probably the only thing they have to say. You don't like it? Move. Go away. Doesn't matter that we're ridiculous. It doesn't matter that we're, you know, it just really doesn't matter. If you don't like the way we're dealing with this, you can just pack up your house and get out.
Right. And, it's the land of the free.
Land of the free, right. It makes so much sense. Isn't that what you agreed to? You wanted to live in a place like that?
Well, you know, I don't anymore.
I know you don't live in a place like that. You're one of the lucky ones. You managed to get out of a place like that.
Yeah, but you know, the problem is, and that's the ones I'm really feeling sorry for, the real elderly. You know, they saved all their lives, they bought the home, and they're stuck. Because here in Florida, you're not selling anything. Even financially responsible families are more or less going broke here. You can't sell. More and more of your neighbors stop paying the dues. That means you get another increase of your monthly dues. You get another letter levying a special assessment until you're broke as well. And that is the big problem. And if our legislators don't see it, then they more or less kill their own golden goose, because they have to realize one thing. In our time and age, the computer, newspapers, media, they report about these things. And, you know, what incentive should a guy who retires in Boston have to still move to Florida? The cost of living have gone sky high. The problems in these associations is known all over. There's not one day where there's not a bad headline in the newspapers. They see the people coming back beaten up, having lost all their life savings. You know, they move back into their old neighborhood up there, you know, and tell the story of their Florida adventure. And then people wonder why we have here in Florida estimated more than 330,000 homes and units empty. I'm not talking the ones under foreclosure or something. Empty. There's nobody living there. They're not paying dues. They're not doing anything.
These are new units that have never sold. Is that correct?
No, no. And that are units that have been foreclosed upon. They're empty. You wouldn't believe how many people just pack up and leave.
Well, we interviewed one of them who just packed up and left. Mel Hobbs went back to England. He's telling everyone in Europe, stay the hell away. You know, it's not worth it. He got beaten up by his association. He got beaten up by the courts, and he's not interested.
Right. And see, these are the people Florida needs. Because don't forget, Florida has nothing. All we have is tourism. And you know, sunshine for the retirees in warm weather, if we don't have a hurricane. You know, or if we don't have a winter like this year. You know, but, you know, if you turn them away, you know, then you have nothing left because Florida has no industry. You know, we have some agricultural deals, you know, the tomatoes and everything just froze. So that's dead. And so I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Well, I can say that Florida's not the only state. I mean, yeah, Florida's having a lot of problems. And probably more problems in the HOAs, primarily because of the fact that you've got most of the HOAs, plus you've got a lot of snowbirds. And
yeah, but they stopped coming. And you know, Florida needs their money.
I know.
You know, don't forget that, Sue.
The thing is that the snowbirds stopped coming to Florida, A, because Florida was not so great, but also because things aren't so great at home. People in Boston are staying in Boston, but that's maybe because they cannot afford to come down, you know, to leave. So, I mean, it's all of these people in associations are really, really suffering. They're all having a hard time. And they're not able to make it. And associations are going belly up. They're going bankrupt. They're closing down. You know, it's, again, it's this house of cards that's all falling up, coming down, I think.
Well, see, here's the deal. You know, you have all these retirement communities here. You know, these older ones, you know, 55-plus. They have more empty units than you would believe.
Yeah.
You know, see, the thing is, if you live in a state with the highest age average, you have a lot of deaths.
Yeah.
You know, people tend to die more often when they're 80 than when they're 25.
That's true.
And so these people die.
And no one's filling their place.
The place stays empty because the kids who inherit it realize after half a year that there's no money to be made selling it because there's no buyer. They just send the key to the management company and say, hey, here's the key, have fun with it, goodbye. And you have another empty unit that is not paying dues. You know, and that story goes on and on and on, and nothing is being done about it, you know. Instead of it, our legislators are considering bills who would actually make it even worse than it already is. You know, and creating more costs, more legal fees. You know, they want now not only for record requests, not only do they want to charge up to 50 cents for each page, which is outrageous. You know, now they want to allow the management companies, you know, to charge for preparing for the record inspection. And I saw a case where a management company was already doing it, hoping that the bill would pass. Somebody wanted 4 pages of the 2 minutes of board meetings from last year. Guess what?
Four pages,
$2. But they wanted to charge $75 for preparing it, for copying it.
$75?
The four pages of the minutes of the two board meetings would have cost the owner $77. Okay?
How ridiculous.
I mean, this is about as ridiculous as it comes, you know? But this is what they're pushing. They're still not having enough. They're still getting more greedy. I don't know the saying in English, but in Germany, you say you can milk a cow only until she gives up giving milk. You know, and that is the point which we are slowly but surely seeing here. You know, we read all these newspaper articles, you know, it has improved and more sales and things like that. But in daily life, it's all gotten worse. You know, the foreclosures have increased. You know, they came back. It was so funny. You know, December, end of December, nobody works anymore, right? Even the courts go on vacation, and so do the attorneys and everybody.
Yeah.
So in January, you could read here, you know, the number of foreclosures in December has gone seriously down. Right? Hey, hello, if the court is only open half of the time than usual, you know, you can only push half of the foreclosure through. You know, what sort... Oh, and then we had more sales. Well, actually, it were not more sales. You know, the ownership changed because instead of the owner, the private person, now the bank was the owner, you know, after foreclosure, and they considered that a sale. You know, that is how to bolster up numbers if you need. You know, and that is the weird part of it, you know. Instead of realizing something is seriously wrong and trying to fix it, no, they do the opposite. You know,
yeah, it's lying
it
with
always
numbers.
Reminds me of my German history. You know, we had a guy named Goebbels. You know, he was a so-called propaganda minister. And he could make out of a defeat a victory. You know, after the German army was defeated in Stalingrad, he got up and said, big victory for the German army. You know, and that is exactly what we're seeing here. A little different, but the same method of operandi.
It's the spinmeisters at work. They're spinning
yes.
these stories. And
right, and then you have these fancy people who create statistics, and they will say and write anything as long as you pay them for it.
Well, it's called lying with numbers, Jan.
Yes.
We've seen it all, and the saying that you were looking for was getting blood out of a turnip. You know, when you talked about milking a cow,
yes.
In English it's like getting blood out of a turnip, and you're not going to get blood out of a turnip.
But the result is the same.
The result is the same. The sentiment behind it is the same. But notwithstanding that, you've got a lot of bills, and you've got our friend Julia Rabina, who's got some bills out, right?
Yes, he got some bills out. Two of them went through the first committee already successfully, and it will be amended and worked on. But his main bill was already killed in committee because the committee chair refused plainly to hear it.
Oh, well, that was nice of him.
Oh, yeah, and we will have a lot of fun. As you know, there will be elections coming up this summer. And he will top one of our lists of fighting his campaign meetings and things like that. We have already a few people on the list because one thing is Americans have been very lazy because times were good. Everybody could pay his bills. They all had their cars. They could make the payments for their mortgage and everybody was happy. So if you ask them, you know, to go to a campaign meeting or to a town hall meeting, well, you know, there were better things to do, right?
Right.
Now they're all in they're all having serious problems. Money is in short supply. They're getting squeezed out of their homes. Now people are more and more willing to fight for their rights. And I have already seen it, you know, a lot of legislators who are grassroots friendly have seen a lot of volunteers signing up for their campaigns. You know, I mean, the homeowners, they can't afford to pay $200 and $500 in campaign funds. But they realize they have their time. And, you know, especially in Florida, the retirees. You know, instead of going to bridge, let's go to a campaign meeting. And, you know, some of these legislators will realize what they did wrong in summer. You know, and we will actively targeting some of these legislators because they have to realize that they went overboard and worked against their constituents who put them in office.
You know, I worked on a campaign, as you know, and it's very important. I mean, the big money is great because it allows you to do a whole lot. But beyond looking at the big money, because you can get three people to each donate $100,000 and you've got a $300,000 campaign fund. But imagine if you had 3,000 people each donating $10. That means that you have greater support and the numbers, you know, the dollar amount will come up, but it's that support, it's those people.
And you know, honestly, you know, I often love these little old ladies, you know, like so you call them. You know, I among our organization, I send an email out, you know, please support Julio Urbina. He helped us in all the 8 years he was in office.
Yeah.
He was the greatest thing we ever had in Tallahassee. So please, 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 you know, donate a few bucks to his campaign. You can volunteer, but, you know, we as well need some money to run his campaign, okay?
Yeah.
I got a call from a little old lady. She said, I am so embarrassed. I looked in my account. I could afford $30, but that's really all. I'm so embarrassed that I can't give more. Would he take that? Said, not that I send him a check and he thinks I'm you know, I don't want to give him what I'm liking. I said, you know, to be very honest, he will be honored to take the $30.
Yeah.
Because that is what really shows what a legislator should be all about.
Yes.
You know, that the constituents are trying to do something for him. Your constituents are not the ones with the $500 checks and more.
Yeah.
And you know, what you call soft money and things like that. It is about what the constituents, the grassroots, the people you're supposed to represent, what they're willing to do for you. And I think that is a good sign, and it shows that a legislator really did what he was supposed to do. And I really, I loved that call, I have to say that. And it was really nice to hear. And you know, it's not really the amount that counts. I mean, fine, if you get a check for $500, great deal. You know, but if you see that a lot of people send you little donations, you know, for $25, $30, $50, you know, that shows you have the support of the people
right.
you are trying to represent.
Right.
And you know, honestly, I know that Julio Urbina got a lot of donations from people who are not inside his district because he always was all over Florida. You know, his weekends he spent visiting town hall meetings from Pensacola to Jacksonville to the West Coast, you name it, he was there. And that is what makes a good legislator. And, you know, we have laws against cloning, but I always think we should clone him 159 times. So we have 120 representatives and 39 senators like him, and then we can live. And then Florida's economy would go back to normal and we could live happily ever after. I'm sorry to say that, but some of the legislators are just there to fill their pockets.
Oh, some of the most of the legislators are terrible. But no, I keep wanting to get Julio to come up here and run at the federal level. I keep saying, come on up here and campaign for president. I'll run your campaign for you.
Well, you can see what happens. You know, we have a governor, you know, who was beloved by everybody. You know, everybody helped him to gain office 4 years ago, you know, and everybody said, oh, Charlie's such a nice guy. As soon as he was elected, he cut off connections to the grassroots levels.
Are you saying that Julio would do that, too, if he got into the White House?
No, but that's why what I'm trying to say is that even a governor needs the people down at ground zero.
Yes.
And he more or less forgot all about it, and now he is in a fight for his life against former Speaker Marco Rubio, who was not the most beloved person, but what people say is, you know, Marco Rubio minimum tried to do something right or wrong, while Charlie Crist did nothing, so we vote for Marco Rubio. And if all goes as expected, then Marco Rubio will be the new Florida senator, and Charlie Crist will be nowhere. You know, but caused by the fact that he was unwilling to listen to the people, to talk to the people. I have friends who knew him personally, who helped him personally with his campaign, and he cut them off the moment he was in office. You know, that is what legislators have to realize. They may get the big money from special interest, and I mean, Charlie Crist has more money than you can count in his campaign fund, but he doesn't have the support of the people who put the check marks in on the voting ballot. And that is what will kill him. And legislators have to realize, even on a different level, that it can quickly come back to haunt them if they don't listen what their constituents are telling them.
And I think it's time that the constituents really started telling them. I mean, so many of them are still afraid. They're intimidated. They don't think anyone cares. They don't think anyone's listening. And it's really gotten to a really bad, bad situation. But Jan, we're sort of coming close to the end. We've still got a few minutes left. So I would like to talk a little bit about some of the things that you're doing. Number one, you've got a blog that you're doing on a regular basis. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the town hall meeting that you had at the Kendall Federation and the fact and what you're doing with CCFJ, because I think you are one of the few really successful people on a national level. There are a few of them, but you are certainly one of them. And my hat's off to you, because I think you've done an absolutely tremendous job.
Well, we have tried, and it's not always easy, and it is very frustrating, and it is very frustrating because you feel that the legislators who should represent our interests are listening to the people with special interest, and you know that you see bills which makes no sense at all. And at the recent Kendall Federation town hall meeting, we had a very interesting panel. You know, there was Julio Robina as a legislator. There was Maria Arias from a Miami law firm that represents quite a few of the associations in this master association. And you had Donna Berger and from CAN, and you had me. And then the odd man out was Travis Moore, the lobbyist for Beck and Polyakov, CAI. And funny enough, the four panel members agreed that the bill filed by Beck and Polyakov, it's numbered S-1196, is against homeowners' interest and is, again, filed for special interest in a wording that creates more lawsuits and makes it even more difficult trying to enforce the provisions. And some of the provisions do exactly the same what the headline says. There is, for example, a provision which, as the header says, that board members can't get paid. But if you read through the wording, it creates all kind of loopholes for the board members to vote themselves some payments in. You
know, oh, really?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, so you see, that's why I said in one of my blogs, the crux is in the wording. You know, most legislators only read the top of the, you know, the header of the bill.
Yeah.
And that is very, very misleading. You know, because I saw, for example, the talking points Travis Moore created for this outrageous bill S-1196. When you read the talking points, it sounds like a very good bill. You know, but he on purpose leaves out all the downfalls. You know, and that is the problem. You know, I mean, I don't expect legislators to know everything about everything. I mean, believe me, I mean, there are hundreds. If you read the bill, I think there are filed, I think, 2,000 bills.
Wow.
You know, for all kinds of stuff. Now, you can't expect a legislator to know everything about it. But instead of listening to the lobbyists who have special interest in mind, they should listen to their colleagues who have done their homework, did the research, know what they're talking about. You know, for example, if there is one person in Tallahassee who knows about community associations, it's Julio Robina.
Yeah.
You know, he was the chairman of various committees. He was on panels of more town hall meetings than you can ever count. He has heard it all, you know, and instead of listening to him, they listen rather to the lobbyists.
Right.
What some legislators don't realize is the fact that in some of the districts, they will face huge amounts of unhappy people living in community associations. And that might be their downfall, and I can assure you, as much as we lobby for bills now during the session, we will lobby even harder to get these people out of office. You know, our plan will be not so much to support specific people. You know, it will be our goal to show the public what bad legislators they had in the past.
Well, Jan, anything I can do with the show to help in that respect?
Well, most of it is on a local level. You know, our people will line up and do things, you know, to work against the bad legislators because they have to realize they did something wrong. That will be our goal because legislators have to realize that we may not have the money, but we do have the votes. And that is the important part. And we will work very hard to educate all these people to make use of these votes.
Well, I think it's the votes that count because even if you have, you know, tons of money and all of that, if you don't have the votes, it's not going to get you in, and it's not going to do you a whole lot of good.
Well, and some of these legislators don't realize that it may be nice to have a big TV ad on TV running every night, you know, where they kiss a baby or something like that. But I tell you, if at a board meeting or at an annual meeting of a homeowners association, somebody gets up and says, this guy is a real bad dude. Don't even consider voting for him. He worked against us. He worked against our interests. I can assure you that it's worth a lot more votes than the positive TV ads can bring you. believe me. Because people still believe rather word of mouth and their neighbors than they do what they see in TV.
Jan, good luck with that. We are out of time. I want to thank you a whole lot for joining us. I want to especially thank you for all the hard work that you do in Florida, because you're a model to follow, even though you have some of the bigger problems, and I thank you for that.
Well, thanks for the kind words, but the thing is, and that's what I'm always saying, we can only win as a team. Together we're strong, alone we're nobody.
I absolutely agree with you, and on that note, thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.